Welcome to Greek Club at Concordia Seminary. Believe it or not, we are finishing, well, I think we're going to finish 2 Corinthians today. We are in chapter 13, and we are at verse 7, which we sort of did last time. And we may even get into the book of Acts today, because I think we'll read Acts next, and that should take us all the way to the 600th anniversary of the Augsburg Confession, with the 500th coming in just about 5 years or something like that. So, right. I always take great comfort from the fact that Dr. James Vells, my teacher and colleague, taught the Gospel of Matthew at his home congregation for 20 years. So I'm happy about that. He makes me look really, really fast. So, all right. Well, verse 7 we read last time, 13:7. And the only thing I could figure out, I was puzzled by how the translations went at the end. So, verse 7, and we pray, eukamata, to God, and then we have an infinitive, which would be the object, or maybe you could call it indirect discourse. Pray you not to do anything bad, kakon meden. Not, we're not praying, in order that we might be manifested or appear as dokimoi, approved persons, but we're praying in order that you might do the good, but we might be a dokimoi. And the translations all make that last clause concessive, even though. And I didn't think there was anything grammatical that led in that direction. I think it's just context. Although one commentator, Henry Alford, who's this wonderful mid 19th century a British commentator, he actually suggests a more profound sense that Paul actually wants, what he doesn't want is for anybody to look at this situation and say something like this: Paul forced him to do it. He was strong enough, he simply overpowered them, and he forced them. And in their view, that would make Paul and his compadres dokimoi, super duper approved people. But what he'd rather have is that they, because of the gospel and the truth, that they just agree. And so Paul is perfectly willing to fade back into the background so that his opponents might say, well, look, he couldn't force them even if he wanted to. Does that make sense? I mean, that was actually an interesting possibility that I came across in Alford's commentary. And he got it from Chrysostom. Alford is one of these commentaries where he says, and now the real point is given well by Chrysostom, and he gives you like 10 lines of Greek from Chrysostom, and you're supposed to know what it says, you know, so have a nice day, that kind of thing. I can usually hack through that stuff, but it's the Latin that kills me, so. As I like to say, those people in ancient Rome were really smart. They could all speak Latin, right? So, anyway, there's no grammatical reason to take hemeste hos adokimoi omen as a concessive clause, but the translations do. So, okay, well, that's a little bit of cleanup. Let's do verse 8, and maybe we'll do 8 and 9, just because 8 is so short and it's not hard. Ugar dinamatha te katates aletheas, Allah hypertes aletheas. Chiromengar hatan hemes as thanomen, humes de dinatoi eta. Tuta kai eukamatha, tain humon kat artisan. So this is actually pretty easy, you know. For we are not able, something, te is the accusative of the indefinite pronoun. And dunamai is just our friend dunamai. I checked this out just to make sure. I think what you really should supply here is an infinitive, because that's typically the way dunamai works, right? So probably as any verb is like poieo, we are not able to do something, anything. Kata plus the genitive, against the truth. Rather, hyper plus the genitive, on behalf of the truth. And this is why, and it's the truth of the gospel, this weak strength and weakness, who is Apollos, who is Paul, nothing, God is everything, kind of gospel. Right. So, again, the cult of personality is very big in Corinth, and it's it's very big in the U.S. too. So, it's an election year. May God have mercy on us all. Yeah, it's all well, whatever. And then Paul explains further. For we rejoice, Chiremen, right? Whenever, Hatan, now you'll expect a subjunctive, which is what we get, asthenomen. I think this is from astheneo. So my gut tells me that if this were going to be an indicative, it would be asthenumen. The fact that it's asthenomen indicates that it's a subjunctive. And if that's, does that seem right? I think that's right. If it's not right, I just made it up. Yeah, okay, good. All right. For we rejoice that whenever we are weak, you are able, powerful, mighty, right? And again, Paul, he doesn't want to be this influential, hotshot apostle. He wants to be an apostle who brings a strange message that's countercultural, right? And have that message, and especially as it's embodied in Paul's countercultural ministry. I could say it that way, to be what really counts. We pray, eukamatha, and now we just have a direct object, your maturity, or something like that. Katartizis is the noun. This is just, as you can see from the article, the accusative singular, and humon, I suppose, is probably objective, that God would mature or perfect you. We'll get the verbal form of the same stem here in just a second. So again, you can tell he's kind of wrapping up and continuing to appeal to people. Comments, questions on 8 and 9? It's really quite swimmingly easy. I mean, you know, it's not too bad, so. That's a good question. The question is, do we get artisan from cot? I don't know. I'd have to look it up. Yeah. No, wait. You've raised an important question, but we don't have time to go into it right now, which means, I don't know. I'd have to look it up. Yeah. Yeah. I have no idea, Brennan, if that English word comes from Greek, maybe through Latin. Anybody know on artisan? It reminds me of an old beer ad back in the 80s in Oregon, but that's a different subject. Yeah. So, yeah.
It seems like it kind of makes sense if God is artisan in us.
Yeah, if he's the one who's doing the artisaning. Yeah right. Again, this is the verb. The fishermen are katartizoing their nets, so repairing, restoring, preparing. And this is the closely related noun, katartismos, is in Ephesians 4. For the fill-in-the-blank equipping, I like actually restoration of the saints, comma, for the work of ministry and so forth. So, yeah, but about the English word, you've raised an important question, but we don't have time to go into it. Of course, if we had the Antichrist up and running, we could look it up, you know. Yeah, so, yeah. Okay, good. Any more questions, the answers to which I don't know? I'd be happy to field them just as briefly. That's good. Okay, verse 10. Diatuta tauta apon grapho hina paron me apatamos kresomai kata tain exousian hain hakirios edo kenmoi ace oikodemain kai uk ace kath irisen. On account of this, Paul says, verse 10. Apon is a participle. It's from apemi, which means to be absent, right? And it's just a present participle active, masculine singular nominative. So you could weasel it. On account of this, being absent, I am writing these things. Tauta sort of has to go with grapho to make sense as the direct object. The participle here, the referent, is the I embedded in I write. And that construction is always to be taken as predicate position, so probably temporal. While I am absent, on account of this, while I am absent, I am writing these things in order that, now we've got the participle from paremi, which means to be present. And in order that, being present, I might not severely, apatamos is an adverb that means strictly or severely. And krasomai is from kraomai, which means to use something or to act in a certain way or to proceed in a certain way. And this would just be the aorist subjunctive, middle deponent, first singular. It's subjunctive because it's in the purpose clause, hina clause. So in order that, we'll take the participle temporally. When I am present, I may not severely proceed according to the authority which the Lord gave to me for building and not for tearing down. This is from kathaireo, which means to overturn something or destroy it or tear it down. And again, looking at Alford and also at Ralph Martin's commentary on 2 Corinthians, it's almost like Paul is thinking in terms of the alien proper work of God and his alien and proper work as an apostle. I mean, God gave him authority, and he'll do what he needs to do. But the authority's proper work is to build, not to tear down, if I could say it that way. And that's Paul's prayer, right? That's why he's writing now, again, probably from the road in Macedonia, and actually according to the superscription in some manuscripts, a lot of them actually, through Titus and Luke, Paul will send this letter to the Corinthians, hopefully to continue to achieve reconciliation and the repair of his relationship with them and theirs with him. So, questions on any of those forms or constructions? Okay, not too bad. All right, we'll get close here and we'll finish up. Loipan adolfoi, kairata, kat artizista, parakalesta, ta auta froneta, I re nuita, kai hatheostes agapes, kai irenes, estai methumon. We'll just keep going here. Aspasasta, alelus, en hagio philemate. Aspadzantai humas hoi hagioi pantas. He caris tu kiriu, Jesu Christu, kai he agape tu theu, kai he koinonia, tu hagio pneumatas, meta panton humon. And if you'd like to add amen, quite a lot of manuscripts do. So, loipon is just an adjective. It means remaining or left over, remainder. And in the accusative singular like this, it's acting as an adverb. This is the so-called adverbial accusative, and it's translated various ways. Finally, you can see how you get there, remainderly, remainingly, see, therefore, something like that. Finally, brothers, and now we have a bunch of forms that could be indicatives, but they're always taken as imperatives. Present, rejoice. There's a big debate over whether these next two are middle or passive. And in the big scheme of things, theologically, it doesn't make a lot of difference. But if they're middle, the meaning of sense is often almost reflexive, restore yourselves or restore one another, or is it be restored? Again, in a sense, it doesn't matter because it's still addressed to them, right? So maybe we'll take them just to be as wooden as possible and awkward as passives. So rejoice, be restored, be encouraged. Now back to active voice verbs. Phroneo means to set your mind or to think. And this is a good example. You see this fairly often of the third person personal pronoun in attributive position, right? And it means same. So ta auta is think the same thing. Be at peace, irenuita, and consequently, by the way, my favorite paragraph in Blas de Brunner Funk is paragraph 442, because it lists all the possible ways that chi can be used. I think there's about 13 of them. And so, consequently, and so the God of peace, of love and peace, estai, will be with you. Now we have the verb aspazomai. I'm pretty sure it's deponent. And so we have an aorist imperative. Y'all, plural, greet one another in, or probably here means, with a holy kiss. In our emotionally barren and satanically oversexed culture, you've probably never heard those words strung together at the same time, have you? We prefer a handshake, which is fine. A holy handshake. I always kiss my wife. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints, presumably in Macedonia and elsewhere, greet you, aspazantai. And then finally, and as you know probably, this benedictory conclusion is noteworthy because it's so doggone Trinitarian. And so people like this. I mean, Orthodox Christians like this. So the grace, presumably a genitive of source or maybe a subjective genitive, the grace of our Lord, of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, typically, again, taken as source or subjective. And but there's actually quite a grammatical debate over this next one. And the fellowship, our communal participation, is it like the first two, source or something like that? Or is it patterning the way the noun koinonia does pattern with the genitive, and it's the object in which you participate? Because this is the pattern with the noun koinonia. By the way, if you happen to look at the Concordia Journal, last issue, Dr. Kloa had a very nice piece in the Theological Observer. Anybody see this? It was on, we've done three little editorials on mercy, life together, and then I have a little one on witness coming up in the next one. But Kloa just went berserk. And it's a kind of a full-length article with diagrams and stuff. But I'd really commend it to you. It's a very fine piece on koinos, koinonia, koinonao. And the normal pattern might actually lead you to expect that this should be translated. May the grace, I do it a little freely here, the grace from our Lord Jesus Christ and the love from God and our common participation in the Holy Spirit. And then you have to supply the verb, be with all of you. Maybe something like that. And and of course, some people chick it out and they say it's both, but that's just, that's, people who think globally like you, Landgraf, would say that. Well, he is a good Lutheran, actually. That's right. That's right.
It's always both.
Yeah. So anyway.
What was he
thinking? I know. It is actually a problem, yeah. So it's probably good, actually, just to leave it ambiguous like that. And then we have some subscriptions, to the Corinthians B, which is obviously later in the game, once we've decided that there's only going to be two in the canon, right? So, and that's in Papyrus 46. So it's pretty early. It's about 200, I think. And then just to do a little text criticism, after the broken divider, break marker, you've got the P and the kappa and the B. That's, you're supposed to reach back and go, oh, okay, pros Corinthius B, egraphe apa Philippon. To the Corinthians B was written from Philippi. I mean, so some people actually nailed down where they thought Paul actually was. And then there's another variant. We've got P, kappa, B, egg, a, f. And then some people add of Macedonia in case you weren't sure which Philippi it was. Okay. And then diatitu kai luka, through, not written through, but written and presumably sent through Titus and Luke. And of course, none of these words are found in 629, 630, 1505, and 2464. This is probably an example. An easy example where the shorter reading is the original one. So, and that brings us to the end of 2 Corinthians. So I want you to just turn to Acts chapter 1. And this is to scare everybody away, right? I don't know why the editors do this for you, us. Verses 1 to 3 is actually one sentence. Tanmen proton logon epoie samen perit panton o Theophila hon erxtaha Jesus poiente kai didaskein akrites heis hemeras ente laminas tois apostolois dia pneumatos agio hus ex alexita an elempthe hois kai paristes en heoton zonta meta ta patheno ton en polois tecmi rios di hemeron tesarakanta Optanomenos autois kailegon ta perites basileas tu theu. Real men read, and women read Greek from Acts. And that's where we'll pick up next week. And all God's children said,
Amen.
Amen.